News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. Malcolm Ballinger is here with Ballinger Publishing. Lots to talk about this morning. How are you, Malcolm?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am feeling good.
I don't know. I was dreading the cold, but I have to say, when I got up this morning, walked outside, kind of woke me up a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice, actually.
The wind's a little hard to take.
Yes. But my car felt it, actually. It's very, very windy.
Yeah.
So drive carefully. So how are you doing? How was your weekend?
Good, good. Of course, Friday evening, I was at the opera for Oklahoma.
I went on Sunday.
You went on Sunday.
Yeah,
right?
It was wonderful.
Great performance.
It was so much fun. I haven't seen that musical in years. I don't know how do I know the lyrics to all these songs? I know every song in this musical, and I don't believe I've seen it that often or the movie. But when you hear songs like "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning,"
yes,
and
yeah,
some of the other ones,
well, everybody knows.
It was just so funny. It's such a classic in our culture. But they did a great job. I thought it was neat for me from a theater perspective, you know, the musical theater world. It's so interesting because their voices are so trained. So
yes,
it really gave I don't know how to put it, not that we don't do it in musical theater, but a depth to the quality of the songs, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Some of the high notes, some of the blends.
Well, in musical theater, you get a lot of
belting,
what I call shouters, screamers.
It's the belting thing,
yes,
that became so popular over the years.
Yes, which I really don't like.
But they were really singing.
These are trained voices.
Yes. So I thought they did a great job. But I have to say, I was commenting to Malcolm, I thought they only do two performances, and then they have very limited time in the Sanger Theater. So from an actor's perspective, I thought, good grief. I mean, it was a major production. It's like Broadway caliber. How do they pull that off in such a short time?
We have a staff of very talented people.
Mm-hmm. You must have.
Yes.
Because the costumes were exquisite. They were great.
Yep.
I got such a feel the sets were great. The light, everything was flawless. And I thought, how are they doing this in a week? I mean, it's amazing. It was amazing.
Yes. So I think it was pretty much sold out, certainly at the downstairs orchestra level. There were no empty seats. And I think most of the upstairs, if not all, was.
Same was true for Sunday. Yeah. Definitely sold out downstairs. And I know there were people upstairs. So,
yes.
Wow. But I wish they could do it longer than just two performances. But
it's very expensive to produce.
No doubt.
Opera or even a show.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to take a moment because some people might say, well, that's opera. Opera and the symphony and all of the different arts organizations are very important to Pensacola for this reason. It attracts talented people to come live in Pensacola. You may not like opera, or you may, or symphony, or may not, but always be thankful that we have these great companies that attract talented people to downtown. I've often heard it said, in fact, I remember one speech when a person that was new to town said, I don't like opera, I don't go, but I would not live in a town that didn't have an opera.
Interesting.
So it's sort of symptomatic of the attitudes of the citizens.
Well, I believe strongly when I came here, I was so pleased to see how much culture we do have here in Pensacola. It's really rare, but to have an opera company, symphony company, theater company, I mean, we have all of the above, museums,
yes,
galore. So we have a little bit of everything. But it makes me think of that for those that probably could care less. But with the actor Timothée Chalamet, a couple of weeks ago, was on a podcast with Matthew McConaughey, and said on the show that opera and ballet were dying, and that he didn't want to be a part of a business that no one cares about anymore. Well,
yes,
was kind of like throwing a bomb. I mean, people have, I mean, he has really been on the blacklist as a result of that comment.
I read an opinion somewhere that they thought it would cost him the Oscar.
Well, I think it did. But I believe the voting might have been done before the comment. I'm not sure. But so it was interesting. He got the Oscars on last night. It was interesting because there was a lot of comments thrown his way.
Mm.
But he's very, very young. And I think To give him, to defend him a little bit, one of the challenges when I was at the little theaters, we would talk all the time about how do we get the young people involved? Because when you do go to those Sunday matinees, I hate to say it, but there's a lot of gray and white hair there. And so the core supporters of people have been doing it for decades. It was part of the family tradition. So how do we get the young people excited about art?
I don't know if this is a time to get too deeply into it, but mm-hmm. I was reading an article about the Met Opera. Mm-hmm. How they're struggling to make ends meet. And they're doing a lot of new productions, modern operas, mm-hmm. which aren't, they aren't filling the house with them. But it is attracting young people. The real dilemma is how do you keep the gray hairs, if you like,
sure.
and also attract younger people. And it's very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
Older people, I think, want opera. The old favorites, the Madame right. of Butterfly, sure. Tosca, La Boheme, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And the occasional new opera, mm-hmm. I think, modern opera is okay. Whereas young people see La Boheme as, well, that's old-fashioned.
Well, and it's been redone now in modern, you know, in movies and things.
Yeah.
The theme of it has been redone to make it more accessible.
As you know, I'm an unapologetic traditionalist.
Sure.
And I like La Boheme the way it was written. It was written by a genius. It's beautiful opera, mm-hmm. beautiful music. Why try and mess it up?
Well, I understand.
Well, not a popular opinion, I admit.
Well, you'll find more and more in order to survive. So they did this particular production of Oklahoma for sentimental reasons. It was to in memoriam, right?
In memoriam of Alan Benton.
Yes. So that was a beautiful.
Who was a long term.
And that was a beautiful gesture. But a lot of companies now are mixing up their seasons with current musicals and things, along with the more traditional. And that it's interesting because when you think about community theater, more less and less now, I can't remember last time a community theater did Shakespeare. So and that, to me, was my favorite. So it's interesting.
I think it's important to note that I don't recall the last time we had a sold-out house for two performances. I think mm-hmm. I remember where we had sold out for one performance.
Right.
And it's a year that we have done La Traviata mm-hmm. and Oklahoma, which are about as traditional as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So the people that enjoy traditional opera come out in their numbers when it's available.
Well, I have another thought about this, too. I also think it's reflective on our education system now because they've taken arts out.
Yes.
So that's a big part of it, too, because I was exposed to a lot of that when I was in school, in grade school and high school.
Yeah.
So anyway.
We need opera for that reason. Just blow the horn of Pensacola Opera a little here. Please don't tune out while I get on my soapbox. But we have an artist-in-residence program that performs operas in all of the schools.
It's amazing.
It's adapted for kids of mm-hmm. all ages, and it takes opera to the young folks.
And I know that they have a great time when they do that, too.
Yes.
It's wonderful. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We're talking with Malcolm Ballinger and Ballinger Publishing. If you've got a comment or a question, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Pep Talk on a Monday morning with Meg, and Malcolm is here for the Ballinger Publishing. And we've been talking a little bit about the arts and what's been happening. The Oscars were last night. It was an interesting show.
What did you think?
I don't know. I think I'm getting old because I don't even know who half the people are anymore. And I do try to see the movies. I always, when they have Best Picture, I try to see them all, which I didn't this year. I didn't get a chance to do that. So I don't know. It just seemed, I don't know, it's different.
I did not see any movie that was that received an Oscar or was even nominated.
Mm-hmm.
But my inclination is not to go to the movies.
Well, see, that's changed. Everybody's watching it now on Netflix and online.
Yeah, when it comes on TV
later.
Sure. When it sorts out all the bad stuff, you know, people must see this movie. Well, let me see how. Give it the test of time, and then we'll see if it's a great movie.
Well, I still love the movie, going to the movie experience. Being in a theater.
Mm.
I love that experience with the sound and the big screen and being in the dark, and you just get lost in that world. So that's to me what's lost when you're sitting on your couch and looking at your phone while you're watching a movie.
Well,
it's a little different.
The movies would be great if you had a pause button.
No, Malcolm, so you could, that's what's wrong.
You go to the bathroom or get a drink.
No, that's what's wrong with the world. We must experience this whole thing. That, and I'm surprised at you being such an opera fan. That surprises me.
Well,
that you have this, it's not.
Well, hang on a second. I'll defend myself.
All right.
I have a
good
sound system at home. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't compete with the Dolby million speaker thing, but it's very good.
Okay.
And so I can duplicate part of the experience.
So therefore, let's just go back to the original. You have no excuse then for not watching the movies. You just buried yourself into a hole.
Yeah, can we change the subject?
Yes, we can. I'm just teasing you.
But I thought,
excuse me,
there was a lack of elegance again. The men, I didn't see too many in outrageous costumes. They were in some sort of
version of a tux.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. The ladies, I didn't think anything. The thing that struck me was the young ladies that walked people on and off and the Oscars and things, they looked way more elegant than anybody that came on the stage.
Yeah. I don't know. I grew up with it as a kid, and you'd see the movie stars, and it just seemed, even when the stars weren't nominated, they came out for the Oscars. And I think that's one of the differences now. You don't see all the stars there. No. They don't bother to come anymore unless they're nominated. And then I find that it wasn't always just about that. It wasn't just about who won. It used to be about the industry itself and celebrating the movies and celebrating the art form. And now it's more about who wins, who loses, and good night. I mean, it's lost its, I don't know, something.
I guess the thing that struck me most was Nicole Kidman, who, when she first was in movies, is probably one of the most naturally beautiful ladies. And I couldn't recognize her.
Oh, well, that too.
You know, I understand a little nip and tuck, but, you know, hang on. Just don't go too far.
Mm.
What happened to growing old gracefully?
Not in that industry. If you don't nip and tuck enough, you're not going to work. That's the truth. It's an ugly truth. Men, on the other hand, in the industry, can have character lines and don't have to. They still are getting their eyes done. Trust me.
Okay.
But in general, there's more acceptance. But there's been a whole thing. I mean, Meryl Streep is one of the few. If you think of the actresses who are over 45 or 50 that are still working, there's very few. Most of them are young, you know, the younger women now. It's an interesting dilemma in the industry.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm just.
It's just, you know, blowing up your lips and cheeks and so did not do anything for her.
No.
Again, she was one of the most naturally beautiful women.
Mm-hmm.
And now she looks like a bit like out of a freak show. I don't know if I'm overstating it. But.
No, I don't think so. I have nothing to say on that topic, but but I haven't had anything done yet. I say yet. But I will say Susan Sarandon is one of the older actresses that continues to work, and she is very proud of the fact that she hasn't had anything done. And she's, you know, getting the lines now and everything.
And she looks very good.
Yeah, she looks good. So, you know, it's a tough industry, put it that way, and it's constantly changing. And now with AI and everything, they have created a fake actress with a resume.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah.
And an agent has signed her.
I guess we're going to need to stick to radio.
Well.
Because I'm kind of proud of my receding hairline and wrinkles under my eyes.
Well, I hate to tell you, but they could take your voice now, Malcolm, and just replicate it and use it for anything.
Well, could I sell it as under the NIL thing?
Well, that's what we used to do, and you get voiceover, you know, royalties and things like that. But now that they can just recreate your voice any old time, no.
But they would have to pay you.
Nope.
No.
No.
Oh.
That's the whole industry.
I don't like that.
That's the whole industry right now is really, you know, all the unions and stuff are up in arms about this because people
and
are losing their what, I don't know. I guess what is that? Their right of your own voice, your own. Your face, everything. Mm. Because right now you can see all kinds of things on social media that are using stars and placing them together. They're doing it in politics.
Yeah.
With fake things about people doing things.
But several have sold their NIL rights, I think is the best way to say it.
Well, it's different. NIL's for sports.
McConaughey, hasn't he done that?
Well, you can actually have if you have an agent, then everything that you do in your names is you get the money for. That's correct.
Hmm.
But not if it's AI.
Oh.
Right now. They're fighting it
that
now.
That needs obviously change.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt about it. But I don't have to worry about that, do you?
No, we're on radio. So.
At the moment.
So I guess that cuts out a TV career for us.
Among other
things.
Dear. And I'm not going to get plastic surgery, so I'm out. Yeah. Oh, well.
No, I've always said that I would grow old gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who grow their hair long, comb it backwards and forwards.
The comb over.
There's nothing wrong with the bald spot.
No.
Or receding hairline.
I'd much rather see that than a toupee.
Yeah.
And people still wear them.
Yeah. But that's our personal preference.
Yeah.
I mean, some people.
Whatever you're comfortable with, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you have a thought or comment on this scintillating topic, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk. You never know where Malcolm and I are going to go on a Monday morning. But we'll be back to talk a little bit more about Pensacola Magazine when we get back. This is Pep Talk. Good Monday morning. This is Pep Talk. Pensacola's expert panel. Malcolm Ballinger is here with Ballinger Publishing, having a little fun talking about everything but your magazine, which is the intent of this moment. Yes?
Yes, that's what we're here for.
Yes, sir. So it's a beautiful cover. I love this kitchen that's on the cover this month for the March issue. French Country Elegance, it says.
Mm.
I love that. It's beautiful.
There is on page 21,
mm-hmm.
and looking at some of the designs by prominent local interior designers.
Well, now's a good time if you're thinking of spring cleaning, maybe freshening things up a little bit
yeah.
with some paint or wallpaper or getting some new fixtures.
Yeah, that can do an awful lot for your frame of mind.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Kind of lift you up, lift your spirits up a little bit, because you do, it does get tired yeah. after a while.
So, new ideas to browse through.
I like it. Well, the colors are a lot lighter. The trends right now seem to be very light colors. Lots of white or creams, it looks like. White cabinets.
Page 24,
mm-hmm.
My good friend Constance Crosby, on the page 24 is a picture of a tub.
Oh, I love that.
I don't really want to call it. A tub doesn't seem to.
A big bowl.
Doesn't seem to adequately describe it. But wouldn't it be relaxing to...
Well, it would be relaxing if I could figure out how to get in and out of it gracefully. Right? I'm all relaxed, and then I got to get out. Because it's a huge bowl, almost like a little mini swimming pool. But it's very, I mean, I'd love it. It would be wonderful just to sink into that one.
But just before we run out of time, which is coming on us very soon, just want to mention the fur ball.
Yes.
Which is actually next Saturday.
28th, is that right?
The 21st, which
that's
is
right.
next Saturday.
Right.
And a wonderful occasion. If you haven't got your tickets and you love animals, it is a great event to go to.
Benefits the Pensacola Humane Society.
Correct. You get fed very well and get to meet lots of cute little animals.
Oh, I love that. So they can go to PensacolaHumane.org to get tickets. That's where the tickets are.
Yes. And it is, I've been to the last three or four, and it is a fun time.
That sounds wonderful. Okay, we're here with Malcolm Ballinger with Ballinger Publishing. You can get digital copies of their publications online at ballingerpublishing.com.
Come.
And all around town.
All, just about everywhere.
Just about everywhere. All right, Malcolm, thank you for being here
thank
this
you.
Morning. This is Pep Talk. Malcolm Ballinger with Ballinger Publishing.